You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recaps, talking to Season 1, Episode 9, Debate! Debate 109? Is it called Debate 109, Jess Sterling?
Indeed it is.
It's like they knew. They knew when it was come out.
they made the show.
That's interesting, though, because haven't there been a few times where they didn't know the episode order and stuff?
I mean, I suppose they knew this one was going to be. I mean, I don't, maybe they, I mean, if it was Debate 108, oh, that would have been good.
Yes.
But they could always change it after the fact. So
yes.
It's not like they need to lock it in.
Yes, it's not like they need to lock it in. Oh my God, we're here. Debate 109, the best episode of Community of all time. It's here. It finally happened.
Yeah, this is it. We've made it.
Yeah, we've arrived.
Force across the board.
We've arrived. We've made it to the episode that everybody's been talking about. This is the one, huh? This is the one where everyone's like, this is Community! It's Debate 109!
Yeah. I would say like 75% of people are like, this is amazing. This is like Season 1. We're here. Like, we're doing it. And then I'd say 25% of people are like, it's not that good. It's not as good as people say. I think that's kind of where the percentages fall.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I had an incredible time. I'm really happy because I know we talked about this a little bit last week, too, of like, oh, it's hyped. Oh, it's really hyped.
It's real hyped.
Oh, it's real hyped. Oh, God, I hope I like it the way you all like it.
To me, it's also like the most Annie has been thus far.
Sure,
like,
this is extraordinary Jess Sterling bait this episode.
like
I know you pretty well now.
Miami.
Like, I know you well now, and it's like, this shit is so Jess Sterling.
Annie is me in all of the ways in this episode. The moment that she's like, we're going to study so hard. It's going to be so great. And he's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, really? I'm like, that's me. Really?
Yeah. So it's a great one. I totally get it. It's just you and me this week. We did want to have a guest this week. Scheduling did not align. So unfortunately, it is just you and me this week, Jess. Our very special guest who was going to be here, we will make sure that she is in for another podcast.
100% you'll be seeing her in the future.
A million percent. It is literally just a scheduling thing. Count me among the people like, this is Debate. Where's LaTanya? Of course, like, clearly.
We know.
Believe us. We know. We're aware. LaTanya is aware as well. We're going to make it work 1,000,000%. We'll definitely.
If you think there was a chance that there was, like, I didn't want LaTanya on this, like, you're absolutely crazy.
You're crazy.
I would love to talk to her in any capacity always.
100%. But it's been a while since it's just been the two of us in here. Just us.
Yeah.
Wow, that was, like, a little awkward. Like, you didn't respond immediately. You're like, I know.
I was trying to turn my volume down on my computer because
like, I get
loud.
It. I know.
I guess it's just us. There's a reason I bring in a third wheel every week, Josh.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it gets a little awkward. It's just us. It's like, I don't know what to say. You don't like G.I. Joe, apparently.
I know both of us have a really hard time talking, so we need to bring the third person to fill in the silence.
Yeah, I had someone at work tell me recently, wow, you talk a lot. I'm like, mm. I was like, yeah. I do.
Yeah. That's like somebody telling me I'm loud. Like, yeah, I know. I've been on this earth for almost 30 years. I'm aware.
It's exactly what I do. Hey, Jess, were you ever in debate? Did you do debate at any point in your life?
I should have.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have too. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never did, but I don't remember my school having like a debate club. I feel like I would have joined if there was one. And I also feel like I would have been very good at it because I really like to argue and I also like to win.
Yeah.
So
that, like, you know, I care less about the winning. I do like, you know, a good conversation, though. So I, maybe that is why I wouldn't be a great debater. Eventually, I would just be like, yeah, yeah, okay, no, you're right.
I also think that, like, something about debate, like, the Annie's approach to debate is very much how I would approach it. Like, study, 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 prep, prep,
over
prep.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and very much be, like, in the books about it. Because I think people think debate is more just, like, off the cuff, like Jeff thinks it is. But it's really more about preparation, I think. So.
Yeah. I think that I would probably be in that American Idol Seacrest style, just get the audience going, Molt.
Evil.
Like, put on an incredible show. Yeah. 0 points awarded. Like, Billy Madison style. May God have mercy on your soul. That's probably how it would work out, ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would have been very good at it.
But I think you would have been great. I think you would have been great. Should we have? I mean, we've talked about having the there's been rumors of the post show recaps Renap debate that apparently Renap has rejected this idea.
Because they're too scared.
They're nervous, and they're right to be. They're absolutely right to be. Great guys, Robin Akiva over at Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, but they would get mopped. They would be mopped.
They would be stomped on. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. MOTPD, the floor would be mopped. And they are aware of this. Yeah, but should we do some sort of like scripted TV debates for like the post show recaps patrons, perhaps? That could be fun.
That could be fun. What would we debate?
I don't know, like you could, because like Kevin is such a terrible person, and like his thing is that the Lost finale is terrible and Lost is trash. Like, do we do like the big Lost debate with Kevin?
That could be fun. That could be
settle
fun,
once like, and for all that he's just a bad guy.
Yes, yeah. I think there's definitely something in there from like the MCU of like you take like the two most popular heroes or something, right? Like, who are the most popular? Probably Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man and Captain America. Would be great.
I think that could be something there.
Yeah, best I like it.
Could be something there.
Best villain could be cool. Mm-hmm. Or it could be stuff like what's like a show that like Game of Thrones is actually still great. Like that's like the point that you have to argue, right?
I think that's tough.
It is tough, but that's the point of a debate.
Right. But I think that, like, the whole point is that in this debate, it's like man is good, man is evil. There's like, it's pretty easy to argue either side, but giving someone the side of Game of Thrones is still all right is like very tough.
Well, that would be very hard for you, but I could do it for sure. I could 1,000,000% argue that Game of Thrones is still good. No problem. I would then, like, after the debate, I'd go home and like shower for 8 hours
straight. I was just
gonna
say, wash your mouth out.
I would scrub down very hard and cry in the corner of my tub.
Yeah.
And then emerge the next day.
Yeah.
It's probably what would happen.
I mean, I think you'd have to debate.
But I could
that,
argue it. I could absolutely argue it. And I think I would at least mostly believe many of my arguments.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could be fun. I think like post recaps could be fun. We just have to get the right. This sounds like, remember when we did that community building study group, which is a podcast about the community building podcast, which was a podcast about community?
Yes, I remember that.
Could be a good episode of that.
That could be a good episode. Have people come up and debate each other about things for community,
a very
too.
Sporadic like community you have your, building metacast.
Your Britta Jeff Shippers versus your Annie Jeff Shippers.
I guess I'm finally getting it, huh?
Oh, we're here. We've arrived.
Yeah, we've arrived. Okay. So, like, this is something that, like, I've known about to a degree that we were going to be getting into Annie and Jeff territory to an extent. And, like, we saw, like, seeds of it, I think. At least in the football episode, that they started bringing that up. It's there a tiny bit, but this episode's like really going in on it. And I know from Once Upon a Time you had told me during Community Building season 0. Again, you know, I'm basically unspoiled for Community, but there are things that I know because of my inroad to the show. So if you're trying to be super pure, maybe skip ahead a little bit here. That I know that, like, they kiss at the end of the season, right? Like, I think mm-hmm. is something that you had told me.
Yes.
So I was very surprised when they kissed in this one, because that was yes. not something that I knew about.
Yes. And the thing that I love about the kiss in this episode is that, like, Annie is using it to be very manipulative, and I love that for her.
Yeah.
Not saying she didn't enjoy it, but I love that it's used as a way to win the debate. I think that is amazing, and we're seeing how manipulative Annie can be, and that her and Jeff are kind of two sides of the same coin in a lot of ways. And that's what I like about that pairing. Now, like, regardless of romantic entanglement, I personally enjoy the chemistry that the actors have, that the characters have in general. And that's why I think this episode is great, because it's the first time they're really playing around with it a lot, like really investing a lot of the episode's time in Jeff and Annie paired together.
Yes. Yes. So it's interesting to me. It's developing. I do think, like, the age disparity is a little weird for me still.
It's weird. Yeah. No, it's really weird. I think what helps me personally is Allison Brie is like 26.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, it's not as weird for me, but I totally get it.
You know, like, I'm able to, like, headcanon a lot of stuff about some of my favorite shows, but I'm still so new to Community that, like, that's not something I can do here yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if I can get there. The more important this gets, if this is indeed very important. I don't know. I know it's at least gonna be important in some regards, but I don't know. Is this end game stuff? I don't know.
I think the thing is like, just remember that this show isn't about the romantic pairings, right?
Yeah.
It's about the community. It's about the group. So I don't think, like, don't get too emotionally invested in, like, any of the romantic pairings, because, you know, Dan Harmon, like, he's not going to be like, oh, these two people are OTP and they're going to be together forever. Like, that's not his style. So yeah. I just don't think, like, any specific pairing is anything anybody should get super invested in this early in the show. We're still season one, you know?
We are. We're still season one.
I get it. I get that it's weird. And I like that the show, I mean, they know it too, right? He pats around the freaking head multiple times in this episode. Like, they mm-hmm. know it's weird.
Yeah, it's odd, but they're going for it. But that's just one of the things that's going on. There's a lot of really funny stuff in this episode. Mm-hmm. It is like, just to spoil it, like, it's definitely the best episode of Community so far.
Yes, I agree.
For sure. It's really not close. This one will break past my 3.2 spot. I look forward to talking it through. All right, let's go into the episode, Jess. Directed by Joe Russo, written by Dan Harmon, Tim Hobart, and Liz Kakowski.
Mm-hmm.
Originally aired November 12th, 2009. Debate 109. Let's hop in. Take us away.
I would like to note, too, anytime you see Liz Kakowski on an episode, I really like a lot of her episodes.
Okay,
so
cool.
Keep track of her name, because she, especially, I think, especially for, like, the female characters, I think she does a lot of good justice there.
Awesome.
So we start off in the study room. Pierce is telling a story nobody cares about. It's been going on for 27 minutes, which is a very long time.
I love that. That's, like, what tends to happen on a lot of my podcasts.
Yes, no, like, one interrupts you for 27 minutes.
27 minutes of uninterrupted filibustery banter.
Yes.
And then we get into the episode.
So the punchline is, we don't have a pool. The dean comes on with an announcement about the debate team bringing home the championship tomorrow versus City College.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce goes to start the story over, and Britta stops him. She says, a doddering old fool walks into a bar, tells a stupid joke, and I crush his windpipe with my 3-ring binder.
That's, like, a lot of force to crush a windpipe with a 3-ring binder. I guess for whatever reason, in my assessment of the 3-ring binder, it's empty. Like, I have an empty 3-ring binder in mind. That would be hard to inflict too much damage with, I think.
Yeah, I think you'd need, like, one of those, like, 3-inch ones. Like, it'd have to be, like, a big one.
Well, it's got to be loaded up with stuff, Jess. It can't just be empty.
Oh, I was thinking that it would have to be empty because you have to use the metal claws to crush his windpipe.
That's what you think is happening here?
Is that not what's happening? Am I a sicko? What's happening?
It's not that you're a sicko. I mean, it's a great idea. And it was a deep fear of mine when I used to operate the 3-ringed binder as a young lad. It was like, to when you open them and you close them, you get your thumb caught in one. It's like, you know? But like, everyone's gotten their thumb caught in a 3-ring binder. It's really not that bad. Like, to crush a windpipe with the binder part of the 3-ring binder would require so much more force than the 3-ring binder is capable of.
Well, what do you think she's doing with the binder then?
I think that she's got the binder. She's got it like closed. She's holding it like horizontally and she's like smashing it.
Oh.
Like a blunt object.
Interesting. That is never what I pictured.
That would be my guess. But what are you picturing? That she opens up the three ring binder, slowly presses it into the guy's
into his throat,
and then just claps it?
Crushes it, yeah.
Huh.
I'm a sicko, I think. I'm pretty sure we just
that's
discovered.
Vivid. Yeah, that's
I
vivid.
I think that I've been playing too much D&D.
That's vivid. That's
that
vivid.
I have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Something very wrong with me. That's
all
okay.
All right, Lolly. How does this happen? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I took my binder.
What does this look like, Lolly, when you crush his windpipe? Yeah, I think that's basically what's going on here. It's a little gross.
Oh, no. It's awful. Okay. Well, I'm a sicko. Moving on.
Yeah.
Shirley laughs. And then she says she doesn't get it, which I love.
She doesn't get the joke.
Jeff tells the group that Britta is trying to quit smoking. Britta gets upset and says she will slap that smug look off Jeff's pointy face.
Yeah, I love that everybody's like, Britta, we love you. We care about you. We want what's best for you. We really think that you need to start smoking again.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Shirley's like, oh, I heard it, you know, makes you lose weight and your skin will look great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Britta's character when she's trying to quit smoking. Yeah. I love the harsh edge to her. I think
is this going to be a thing for a while?
I know that she smokes on and off and it does come up, but no, not this is kind of like the main episode that it's mentioned in.
Yeah, it's fun.
So Pierce asks if she's heard of hypnotherapy. He volunteers his services. Jeff asks if he can help block out the voices he finds very annoying, and Pierce thinks he's talking about Britta. Britta agrees to have Pierce help her because she feels bad that she threatened him.
That's why. All right, and then Troy storms in, and he is currently in possession of something rather alarming. That something is that Abed has been making movies about the group.
And he's predicting the future. They have, the cast kind of looks like the rest of the group.
You know, C-list versions. Yeah.
Yes, yes, very much so. And he's basically predicting all of their future conversations. Troy says, this is wrinkling my brain, at the same time his doppelganger does.
Yeah.
Pierce laughs at the old guy until he finds out it's supposed to be him. He's very offended.
Yeah.
I love this. I love this whole concept. The fact that Abed is so good at predicting their behaviors that he can make movies about what they'll do in the future.
Is this the part where, what they're watching is what had happened the week before? Or is that later? I'm trying to remember.
I think it's a mixture of that. And then they also show Pierce, breaking his leg, I believe, here.
Right.
The thing, because
we had talked before about maybe some out of sequence stuff with Community. That was why I was like, wow, they really knew where this was going to take place. They knew that this was going to be after 108, after the events of last week's episode, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. That was last week.
Yeah.
Community is already dripping into that meta stuff with this episode. So it's definitely kind of this feels just an episode where it's sort of slicing into the metaverse just a tiny bit.
Yeah. And I will say that Community, while it is a sitcom, definitely has stronger season long character arcs than a show like Friends or Parks and Rec, where you can kind of just put a random episode on and you're not going to necessarily notice where it's supposed to be in the order. I think Community, not so much not as much as a show like The Good Place, but even still, I do think the order does matter a lot of the time, especially later on.
Yeah.
So we're in the hallway now. Dean stops Jeff and asks if he's heard his announcement. Annie's debate partner has dropped out and they want Jeff to fill in. Professor Whitman is back and he is the debate coach.
Yeah. he's not as Whitman-y in this episode as I'd like him to be, unfortunately.
No, he doesn't have as big of a part. He has a couple funny lines.
But even when he's around, he's not doing enough day seizing. I felt like Professor Whitman could have seized the day more.
I feel he would have shot the basketball. He would have gone and played basketball with the basketball team when they run in or something like that. That feels very Whitman-y.
Or that they would give him a much more pronounced moment when Annie kisses Jeff or something like that.
Yeah.
Day seized Annie, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. There could have been a callback
like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to convince Jeff to do it. Dean,
because he's a lawyer. They want him. They want him on the squad. Yeah.
Who better than a lawyer? Mm-hmm. Because Dean wants to stick it to the City College snobs. This is the beginning of the. Well, I think this is the, maybe the second time it's mentioned, but this is kind of just the start of the City College rivalry with Greendale.
Yeah.
It'll come back again multiple times.
I feel like this is my first experience in continuity with City College, right? Like, I think chronologically, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it is a relatively big deal for the show.
Yes. And Dean calls Jeff a jerkwad and immediately apologizes. He says the school needs a win. He asks Jeff what it will take to get him to join, a good parking space, free meals, a night of companionship. Jeff says he'll do it for the parking space, and he doesn't want to hear about Dean's offer of companionship again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the Dean. I just love his like face when he says companionship. It just cracks me up so much.
Yeah. Companionship.
He like leans in very quietly.
Yeah.
Now we're in the music room. I don't understand why the hypnotherapy is taking place in there, but I mean, I think that's because they just wanted Chevy Chase to be able to trip over musical instruments, I guess.
Yeah. Was there a better location that this could have taken place in? I don't know. I mean, they could have just used the study room, I guess.
I guess the study room, I'm thinking like, I call it the lounge where they the have lounge, like the vending machines and the pool tables and stuff. But
this
whatever.
Is maybe secluded. This is quiet. Yeah, it's private. You know, and therapy is, you know, you want a, you know, safe space and everything. Mm-hmm. Even hypnotherapy from Pierce Hawthorne.
Yeah. So Britta thanks Pierce for helping her. Pierce says he thinks people don't take him seriously. So Britta asks if he's going to wave a pocket watch in front of her face and say she's getting very sleepy.
Uh-huh.
Pierce laughs and throws a pocket watch to the side. Yeah, obviously, that was his plan.
But Britta, like, sees that, I think, right? She's like, oh, no, this isn't going to be good.
Oh, I think she... Oh, yeah, after he throws it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no.
This isn't good, yeah. Uh-uh. So Britta has to close her
eyes.
Have
you ever been hypnotized?
No.
Would you ever want to be hypnotized?
I think maybe yes, but not like on a stage where I feel like it usually happens.
That's strange for someone named Stage who wouldn't want to be
on stage
hypnotized in your natural environs.
I just feel like it would be very like anything that would happen would always be embarrassing. Like they're not going to do something that's not embarrassing to you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you're just like walk around like a chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would do it.
I
would do
that.
It for sure. Yeah, I've never been hypnotized. I've never been in any situation where they've pretended to hypnotize me or tried to hypnotize me yet.
Do you feel like you'd be susceptible to it?
Yeah. Yes. And I suspect I've made it 36 years. 36 years.
Woof.
Oh no. I've made it 36 years without hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make it another 36 years without hypnosis. I just don't believe it to be true. It's going to happen.
Interesting.
It's going
to
happen.
I can't wait to hear about it when it does happen.
It's going to happen.
Would you think it'll happen on a stage?
Probs.
I want to be present, or I want it to be filmed so I could watch it. I don't know. I wouldn't volunteer to be hypnotized on a stage. I would volunteer to be a magician's assistant on a stage, though. So
what would be the appeal there? So that you could like learn how it's done?
Partially, yes. I think I would love to
be sawed in half.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That I would love to be a part of, because then I feel like I would know like how do they do it? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How did he do it?
Like, either I would know, or I would have the experience of being sawed in half and being put back together. And it's like, well, that sounds fascinating, too.
And you could say you were in, like, a life or death situation, and you kind of were.
Yeah, I would be cool with that. Yeah.
Or, like, even the like, coin behind the ear trick. Like, mm-hmm. even as simple as that, I'm game for it.
I one time with Kevin, the aforementioned Kevin Mahadeo, we went to the Magic Castle. We've gone to the Magic Castle a couple of times in Los Angeles, and I've been selected for like some tricks there, like for like close-up magic. You would think that I would hate that because like that's like deep anxiety stuff.
Yeah,
it's actually really fun because they're all typically they're so good at what they do that you want to be involved.
You're just like, is this your card? And you're like, yeah.
Well, there's that's a little pressure on you if like you're not in the mood to like talk. Or if like you got a tummy ache and you're like trying to focus on just like making it through the thing.
Yeah.
That sounds a little too real, huh?
Sounds very specific.
Yeah, it sounds like that was the specific memory.
It's very, very specific. Yeah.
Anyway, so hypnosis is about to go down.
Yes. So he tells Britta to close her eyes and listen to his voice. Gorilla is the word that will bring her out of it. Yeah. Very curious choice of words.
Yeah.
Pierce says that when she wants to light a cigarette, she will associate these things with things she hates, like bad tasting food, sex with men, wearing attractive clothing. And this is when Pierce falls over and Britta doesn't get up to help because she has to pretend to be under his spell.
Yeah. So she's not going to assist Pierce because in her calculus, helping him during his moment of pain would be worse than breaking the illusion that he is a magician.
Yes, yes.
Fair enough.
And classic Chevy Chase just falling all over the place. All physical over comedy the place. All over, yeah.
All over the place, yes.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we're in the study room. Annie is explaining the debate to Jeff. Their topic is whether people are inherently good or inherently evil. Jeff doesn't feel like he needs to strategize because he was a lawyer who debated for money.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here.
He knows what's up.
Yeah, he knows how to. He just feels he's very confident. He doesn't need to study at all.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff asks Britta how hypnotherapy was. She tells Jeff what happened, and Jeff says it will never end. Britta says he just wants one more session.
Just one more.
That's how it starts. And
that's going to, yeah. Is this, do we ever do hypnotherapy with Pierce Hawthorne again, or this is it?
No, but I think this is a very important storyline, even though it doesn't seem like it for Britta right now, because again, she's trying to help somebody. Like, we see a lot of themes of Britta helping people, right? She helped Jeff last episode. She's helping Pierce this episode. She's getting helped by a certain type of therapy. Therapy plays a large role in Britta's storyline. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. And I didn't realize that it had started like this early on in the show.
Yeah.
So something to keep an eye on.
Something to monitor for sure.
Yes. Troy and Shirley enter looking for Abed to talk about his films. Abed comes in, everybody's staring at him. He says he knows they watched the movies. Shirley calls Abed a witch.
Witch!
And I think this is in Troy's episode. Let's get him! Abed says he's
like, I'm a student of human character. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He knows all their behaviors because he knows them so well. Shirley, you're a sweet, Christian, generous person. That's nice.
Yeah, at the same time. And this is, even though Abed isn't in the episode that much, like, these tiny moments are so funny.
Careful, boy.
The way he says, careful, boy. Yeah, thinly veiled rage issues. And then Abed shows them one more of his films. He says Jeff's character acts like nothing affects him, but things bother him more than he lets on. He's also very vain. And this is when Jeff is looking at his nails.
No, I'm not. It doesn't bother me at all.
And Troy's character is crying. And I'm pretty sure this is when Troy says, why am I crying? Did I listen to Styx again?
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
Abed said he can't predict the future, but Pierce's character injures his leg. So that's when, I guess, yeah, this is earlier. And then he walks in and, of course, he has a brace on.
Yeah. Abed's an evil wizard.
evil wizard.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I love that storyline. I think it's really funny. I think it is a great example of some of the stuff we've talked about, how like sometimes you have moments where the characters like aren't in the episodes very often, but when they show up, they're just like so specifically themselves. This episode for Abed is a great example of that.
I completely agree. This is like a really good example of like, okay, Abed doesn't have to be the center of the show to be great and to have good moments. You know, we don't need to make the entire episode about Abed to still have to be great.
For sure. All right, let's get to the debate.
Yes. So Annie cites Lord of the Flies and says, when left to his own devices, man will descend into chaos and evil.
Yeah.
She curtsies, which is just so great. And Jeremy Simmons takes the stage. So Jeremy Simmons.
I love this character very much.
He is such a douche. He is like, he's literally great. Just his appearance says we should hate him. He has a tiny ponytail. He has a soul patch.
Yeah.
We'll see him later with a fedora,
yeah.
A scarf. Everything is bad.
Wow. He's the shut up Tim of Community, huh?
Yes, absolutely. He is the like a quote unquote nice guy, right? Like the subreddit nice guy. That's him.
Yeah. He's great. He's excellent. He's an exceptional character, just like a total troll. Very, very queer antagonist. It's hysterical. I really loved this character this week. It was very, very, very pleased to make his acquaintance.
Yeah, yeah. He's awful. He gets like a huge applause because City College has like a whole bunch of people there supporting them, and Greendale has like nobody. So he says there were 23,000 kidney donations in America last year. Man is good. The average life expectancy for man in a community is 23 years longer than a man alone. Man is good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, isn't 23 a lost number?
It is.
It comes 40, up 15, twice 16, in this quote.
23, 43. Well, we know how community feels about loss.
There you go.
This is from which the meaning of life can be. the meaning of Christmas, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. He also mentions the dean holding the door for him 10 minutes ago, and the audience applauds. Professor Whitman tells Jeff he always envisions his opponent having aggressive sex with his mother.
Interesting.
That's
tough. You know, I feel like that would be destabilizing. You want to go in kind of steady with your arguments intact. I don't know that this is the right tactic.
No. Who says that to somebody?
Professor Whitman.
Yeah.
Just now in the show.
What is happening?
Not great.
So Jeff goes on stage and says people are evil. They can't help it. He asks for one of the judges' names. He says that she spent all this time making herself lovely, but nobody complimented her. She says he just said she looked great, and he says he did it for selfish reasons. And then he starts singing Evil Woman.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's into it, and everyone's having a great time. And it is this moment where, like, it's a little hard for me to gauge where I'm at in the midst of a community episode. I'm, like, not looking at, like, the runtime or anything while I'm watching. And so, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, does he just, like, win? It's like, no, he got 0 points.
Yeah, no, he's awful. City College gets 50, Greendale gets 8, and because it's Annie got 8.
Yeah.
And we get another American Idol drop. The judge tells Jeff this is debate, not American Idol.
Yeah. All sizzle, no steak. So good.
It's such a good line.
Yeah.
Jeff tries to act like he doesn't care.
He cares.
He definitely cares. And especially because this is like so embarrassing for him. Like, he was a lawyer and he can't even win like a debate in a community
college.
It's
a different venue, you know? It's a different system.
Yeah.
Different thing.
This is when the basketball team runs onto the court. And earlier we kind of skipped over it, but like Dean mentioned something about like the best compliment our basketball team gets is that they're extremely gay or something like that. And so of course they're coming and they have like short shorts. They all have like mustaches, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really? I didn't clock that.
Crop topped shirts,
that's
stuff
great.
Like that. And they argue that, oh, we reserved the gym, and the dean confirms it, so they suspend the debate until the next day.
Got it. Yes. Yeah, Jeff doesn't care about any of this.
No.
Or so he says.
You could tell he's frustrated because Annie's chasing him through the hallway, and she wants to know, like, oh, when are we going to practice? And he, like, kicks the garbage can, like, he's very upset.
Yeah.
he says, never, because I don't care. He tells the human being to bite him.
Bite me. Yeah.
I love how present the human being is in early season one. I feel like we get away from it. Like, I feel like we don't see the human being as much later on.
That
so I really appreciate it.
Breaks my heart. Yeah.
Right? I appreciate him being here so often in his, like, very, very tight outfit. Like, okay, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I watched the episode 3 times, of course, and every time when Jeff and Annie are in the hallway and the human being is walking the opposite way, like, something about me, I have to stare at the human being because it's just, like, a fascinating costume.
He's an odd duck, this human being. An odd human. It is a strange, unsightly, weird thing that's going on with this whole character design that makes me deeply, bone-chillingly uncomfortable. And that is exactly what I think you're supposed to get. And so
100%, especially because like the outfit is quite tight around like the buttocks area as well. And so it's just like, what am I watching?
Yeah, it's weird.
So Annie accuses Jeff of being all sizzle, no steak.
Doesn't like that. No. He keeps hearing
he pretends to be offended and says they're going to study harder than they've ever studied before. When Annie says, really? No. Who am I? iCarly? Mm-hmm. Which is such a random drop, I think. It I don't know.
Yeah, I never did iCarly. Never got into
it. I was too old for iCarly. Yeah, when that came out. So Annie tells
Jeff. Did we miss out? Should we have done iCarly building?
I don't think so, but probably Felipe would disagree because I know he's big into the Gen Z shows.
Disney stuff. It's Disney, right, iCarly?
I think so. I believe
I don't know. What was it about? Do you know what it was about?
Oh, Nickelodeon is Deidre's Nickelodeon. I think it was about a girl named Carly.
I believe that's right.
This is just me spitballing, but I believe that's probably what it is.
Yeah, okay.
She did have a web show.
Had a web show. Got it.
Yeah, and then it turned into, like, a real show.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
So Annie tells Jeff that Abed was right about him. He acts like things don't bother him, but they actually do. And this is when Simmons comes out and mocks Jeff by singing Evil Woman, but with his own lyrics, Zero Wigger, ba-na-na-na-na-na. And he asks the guy that's, like, his, like, I don't know, crony, whatever, to, like, kick the garbage can for him.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
And
calls Annie 8 points, another lost number.
Yes. And I hate this. He's so mean to Annie. He calls her little Annie Adderall, was an outcast in high school. And see, this is the moment. This is the moment when Jeff commits to studying for debate. Not when Simmons insults him, but when he insults Annie. And I'm not, like, again, I'm not, this is not like a Jeff Annie Stan account or anything like that. But what I will say is that.
Is it though? It's not.
No. And my point is not that it's because Jeff has like romantic feelings for Annie. My argument would be he's grown, right? Like he feels like he needs to defend his friend.
Yeah.
So I think that like this is another mark in the Jeff growth column of look, he's changing. He cares about his friends. He cares about what this douche guy with a fedora, the douche fedora wearing soul patch guy is saying about his friend. So he's going to try really hard now.
Yeah. He's all in at this point, but there's still some surprises coming Jeff's way.
And this is a very funny. So the next scene, we're coming into the library. Very funny moment between Britta and Troy. Britta's apologizing to him. Apparently, she said something in the heat of her nicotine addiction. And he says he liked her better when she was smoking. Apparently, Britta called Troy's feet long and stupid. I don't know how this came up.
Yeah. What was the context for this?
I feel like maybe she tripped. He tripped her accidentally.
Okay.
She's just like, move your stupid long feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that could be it.
And so this apparently is also from Abed's movie.
Yes. Where Troy's crying.
Yeah. All of this is, you know, she recognized this. So he predicted the future once again. She's terrified. What's my destiny?
Yes.
So good.
She's very upset. She grabs Abed's paper, calls him a Middle Eastern magic eight ball.
What's my destiny?
He says he's just an entertainer and shows Shirley his latest film. Shirley's being chased by a werewolf. Annie and Jeff kiss as Shirley runs by. And Shirley's like,
you're okay, a fool.
You're a fool. Yeah, I'm leaving.
At this point, it's pretty clear that Jeff and Annie are going to kiss. But I kind of thought that this was going to be like payoff for the finale. I was still taken aback that it happens in this episode. I do love like the implication of the werewolf that they let that go. But like at the end of the episode, when they're talking about the full moon, he goes, Shirley.
It's just, yeah, it's so
it kills
good.
Me. Yeah,
and
it kills
also
me.
the people that play their like doppelgangers in these films. The one who plays Annie, her wig is so awful and it's so supremely distracting that I love it.
Yeah.
I love that I hate it, I guess. It's very bad.
It's great. It's great. It's perfect.
So we're now in the study room. Annie's explaining the Stanford Prison experiment to Jeff. Jeff complains about a headache. Annie tells him it's a stress headache and she got her first one when she was 4.
Mm-hmm.
To that I say I can relate.
I think I must be getting stress headaches.
I believe that it. Happens. I mean, also, when's the last time you had your eyes examined? Because 2020 has been bad on everyone's eyes, I think.
It's been a couple years.
Then you
it's probably been since 2019, yeah.
Okay, I think you need to go to an eye doctor.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Because that definitely could be it. But I totally get
it. Add it to the list. Add it to the list.
Even still, I definitely connect with Annie on her stress headaches. I was someone who got a lot of headaches. I used to grind my teeth. I mean, I still do, but I used to grind my teeth really off, like really badly around like exam times in school. I would have dreams that I like had to take the test overnight, but didn't have a pencil. It was bad. But yeah.
That's so tough.
Yeah.
Was the pencil identifiable by the eraser or?
Erasers up. Erasers up. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. So she tells him if he wants to win, he has to prepare. And he tells Annie that she has to go off book and loosen up. So they kind of each need to take each other's advice, right? Like he doesn't study enough and she needs to like loosen up a little bit, you know, maybe go off book once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So she like changes her hairstyle. She like undoes the clip.
Yeah, takes out the bobby pins, which this very much reminded me of like a 90s rom-com where the girl takes off her glasses and magically she's beautiful.
This is like classic already. She's all that stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
She asks what he thinks and he looks taken aback and says, yeah.
Yeah.
Shirley like just peeps her head in and tells them to be careful because Abed thinks they're going to kiss. She like giggles and calls it ridiculous.
It's no good. Makes everybody very uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is the scene where they're now super uncomfortable. They both say it's ridiculous. They get back to work and Annie has like a very much like a kind of like a golf like sweater tied around her neck, which she removes, leans over Jeff to show him like a passage in a book, and of course her chest is very close to his face.
Is this where the phrase "we don't sexualize Annie" comes from?
No, that's literally a phrase in the show.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll see. It's in season one, I believe. So you will see it.
Yeah. But obviously in this moment, Jeff is not able to not sexualize Annie.
Yeah. Yeah. Her boobs are like all up in his face.
Right in his face.
So, and apparently I listened to the DVD commentary and apparently this scene was like, everybody on set was like silent during it. Like everybody was watching and they let it linger. They said that they had to edit so much down from this episode. Like this scene alone was like 10 minutes long. I'm just like picturing them being like horribly uncomfortable for that long.
That's so good. That's so funny. Yeah.
So she reads an excerpt about how men is a collection of base animal urges.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. Maybe we should study alone.
Yeah.
Good idea.
And that's when Jeff pats Annie on the head and just leaves. And she's like, you forgot your cell phone. I'll get a new one.
I'll get a new one is a great line.
Leaving.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
We're now back in the music room. Pierce is trying to hypnotize Britta and he catches her with her eyes open. So he knows it's not working. So this is when he says that she will be attracted to slightly older men, perhaps a barrel chested stud with just enough tummy to love. You'll want to buy him dinner and go in the hot tub for a three-way, which is when Britta calls Pierce a disgusting pig.
Yes.
Yeah. He says he knows she was faking it. Britta says she was trying to make him feel better about himself. And this is when, like, Pierce gets very offended because the last thing Pierce ever wants from anybody
is pity. He doesn't like to be pitied. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't like that at all.
Yeah. He says he will not be pitied. And he falls over and, you know, crashes into drums and more
again.
School equipment again. Again. Yeah.
Chevy Chase is very committed physically.
I think that, like, it's not surprising that, like, he came up with this bit to, like, just put a bunch of musical instruments in the room and I'll fall all over them, you know? And, I think even Joel McHale in the commentary was saying, like, there's a reason that this guy is, like, a little bit stiff in the morning. It's because he's been doing physical comedy for, like, 40 years. And, like, you know, of course he's going to be a little bit stiff as a result.
It makes sense.
I think this is interesting. And something we want to track is, like, even though Britta wants to be helpful and always wants to help people, and Pierce is one of those people, I think it's interesting that, like, they still have this very contentious relationship versus keep an eye on, like, the Pierce-Annie relationship, where we did see in the one with the theme song for the school or whatever, right? Like, Pierce and Annie are working on that together. And I think that the way Annie handles Pierce is just slightly different than Britta. And as a result, like, Pierce and Annie are much closer than Britta and Pierce together.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's interesting to track it because obviously Pierce says things that aren't great a lot of the time. And it's interesting that Britta seems like the character who wants to help people the most for the least selfish reason, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, I think that that tracks.
Annie likes to help, but she's also very self-interested a lot of the time.
Yes.
So back to the debate. Simmons is finishing his debate. Snow falls from the heavens pure. We cannot blame the snow for being soiled by the earth. And he weeps and finishes.
Man is good.
Troy's crying, which is so good.
Yes.
It's Jeff's turn. He actually, this time he's wearing the full outfit. He has the headset, which I love the inclusion of them having to wear headsets. Like, why they can't hold a microphone for this?
Well, it's like, it's because it's very, like, I don't know, like, this feels like very, like, sort of like huckstery, cult level, let me get you in on my pyramid scheme type of, like, telemarketing, televangelism type stuff. It's just, I think we could at least, like, I don't know. If LaTanya was here, she would let us know. Is this how you guys do it? Like, do you put a microphone on?
My guess is they have a
podium. My headphones that I podcast with do have, like, a little bit of a thing. So maybe just, like, I should be...
triple mics?
Yeah. I currently also have two microphones in front of me for anyone who is just listening to the podcast and doesn't get the visuals. Now I have three microphones in play.
Mm-hmm. Does very not look exciting. Ridiculous at all.
No, not at all.
Nope.
Yeah, looks great.
No, my guess would be they have a podium with a mounted microphone at a normal debate. But I appreciate the, like, Britney Spears-esque headphones that they have to wear.
Yes.
But he's all in now. He's wearing the outfit. He's there. He starts off by referencing the Stanford Prison Experiment. There's none righteous, no, not one, which is a quote from, of course, Jesus.
Yeah.
Which quotes, really yells, that's
oh,
nice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. And then we get the montage of just, like, all these, like, sort of non sequitur debate points as we're just going through. And it seems like Jeff and Annie are vibing pretty hard. The body language in this is really funny, too. Just sort of, like, the quick cuts is really, really great. Professor Whitman is, like, enamored of Jeff. He's like, he reminds me of me. Slightly worse hair.
Yeah, of course. Everything is about Jeff's hair, I think. Like, it always comes back to Jeff's hair or his forehead.
Yeah.
So the dean thinks that Simmons will need a miracle to win, but this is when Simmons rips up his note card and everybody's freaked out because he's going off script.
Yeah.
Britta gets too stressed and she has to, like, leave because she has to go smoke. Abed says it's a gambit.
Yeah. It's a gambit.
Yeah. And this is when Simmons uses his wheelchair.
This is crazy. This is so insane. He launches himself across the stage.
It's so good. And the slow-mo.
And, like, with his arms outstretched.
And face to the side. Yeah. Like, this slow-mo shot is so funny. It's the most ridiculous thing. And Jeff, of course, catches him. To which Simmons says, he hates me.
Yet he caught me. Man is good.
And everybody freaks out. Everybody cheers.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, there's no way anybody can top this. To which Annie grabs Jeff and kisses him. And he drops Simmons. Literally watch this shot, like, so many times because Simmons' face just, like, smash on the ground. It's so good. It's so
great.
Funny. So then Annie kisses Jeff and she says he was horny, so he
so
dropped him.
So he dropped him. Man is evil. Yeah. And obviously, like, Man is Evil should have just won anyway because it's true.
Yeah,
but it is a glorious victory. The Abed prophecy continues.
Yes. Yeah, I think this is when Shirley, like, hits Abed. She's like, Abed.
Yeah. Was that off book enough?
Yes. And Dean, eat that, Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
So Greendale wins. We see Britta is turned off by cigarettes. And Jeff is, like, very stunned by this. Like, we can tell that Annie, like, we know that Annie, like, there's chemistry there and she's awkward around Jeff. But, like, to me, this move is purely because she wants to win. She is very competitive and she wants to win. So she kisses Jeff to win. But Jeff looks very similar to how he looks in the scene where him and Britta kiss for the seizing the day moment, right? Like, he's kind of like, well, I was not expecting.
They're love triangulating.
Yes. Yes. So, right. So Shirley is now afraid that she's going to get chased by a werewolf. And this is, this is something that is very meta about Community. The line that she says is, I'm a die by werewolf. And Alison Brie apparently and the whole cast became obsessed with this line. And Alison Brie apparently likes to like rap sometimes.
Okay.
And there's a video and they say this line a lot behind the scenes that I'm a die by werewolf. And she has this whole rap and it's her and Yvette Nicole Brown at the study room table. And she has this whole rap about dying by a werewolf. And
that's
Yvette
amazing.
Nicole Brown looks like the happiest person I've ever seen in my life. Like it is I'm a die by so werewolf. Ridiculous. Yeah. I'm a die by werewolf. And
that's
it goes
great.
On and on. It's very funny.
Okay. I got to look that up.
You will have to see it. So she says, I'm a die by werewolf. Abed says he doesn't have powers. And that in his next film, they discover Pierce is an actual genius.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And so now Britta can't smoke a cigarette without thinking about Pierce having a three-way in his hot tub.
Right.
So it worked.
Yes, it did work. And Britta calls Pierce a genius. And Dean tells the human being, I love the relationship between the Dean and the human being.
Yeah, he's a very proud papa.
Yes.
The Dean with the human being.
So he said he did great in there. Professor Whitman talks about being a full moon tonight.
And Abed goes, Shirley.
Yep.
You know, it's just so funny because like, I feel like that can go over people's heads. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you don't just necessarily hear full moon and automatically go werewolf.
Yes.
It's just perfect. It was so good.
And then there's an awkward interaction between Jeff and Annie outside of the debate. They call each other buddy and pal and they like go to hug or shake hands, but it's really awkward. And Annie's like, just pat me on the head.
Yeah, just pat me on the head. Yeah.
And they depart. So
that's it's the beginning of something, or at least it's like stage two of what's going on with Jeff and Annie at this point.
Right. And now we're fully outside of the Annie Troy territory, which I like. I mean, again, I don't.
We're never really there again.
Not really.
Not in a major way.
It comes up in conversation, but no, it's not like, I think that at this point you just see their friendship build more than anything else. And I think she just realizes like, there's a scene. Well, you saw it. You saw the scene in the one where they go to the bar, mixology certification. And that scene is what I'm talking about. Like, they kind of realize that they're just better as friends.
Yeah.
So that's that. And then we have the end credit scene.
A double Streets Ahead, I think we can safely say here.
So funny.
The stand-ins trying to do the Biblioteca rap.
Mm-hmm.
They do it just so poorly, and Troy just melts down.
Do you hate this?
Do you guys hate this? Do you hate this?
I'm pretty sure that was improv as well. And I just love everything about Donald Glover. Do you hate doing this?
Do you hate this?
and that was
such major MOTPD energy.
Yeah.
Like, that was just like one of these things, like when he goes into that mode where I'm like, that is like so deeply relatable to how I feel sometimes about like people's lack of enthusiasm about things. Like, do you hate this?
Yeah.
Are you not having fun? Do you actually just hate this? It's amazing.
And I love Abed, like him pulling Abed aside, and then Abed comes back and he's like, just have fun with it.
Just have fun with it. Yeah. Take 36. That's how old I am.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The numbers are good.
The numbers are bad. it's great.
Easy,
it's great.
Easy Streets Ahead for this one.
Ahead and just like a very easy best episode of the show so far. It was just like a total pleasure to watch. The characters are all great. Like, yeah, just like spoiling my meow meows a little bit. Like, I think I've got everybody at least at a four.
Yeah. Mine are not quite there. But I feel the same way. Like, as much as I don't think I need to necessarily have all my characters at like a five to love the episode. I just think like this episode, every single character gets a moment, even if it's not like all about them, right? Like, this is mostly the Jeff and Annie show. And yet, like, everybody has a moment. And to me, everybody is 100% in character at this point. Everybody, like, the characters are well established. They're three-dimensional. We know who they are by now. And everyone is out of the park with it. I think everybody does a good job of being their character in this episode.
Let's get into some F community feedback. Some guy named Will A has written in. Whoever this guy
that
is.
That guy.
Will writes in. He says, Jeremy Soul Patch Simmons is the best one-off villain of the series. And it's unfortunate that we don't see the character again because they did a great job making us hate him immediately. He's also in both Captain America Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron. Didn't know that. Also, we never see him again. This is it.
Yeah, and they said it in the commentary. They're like, they did want to bring him back another time. I just think it didn't work out. I'm upset as well because I think he is so funny in this episode. He's such a good villain. And I wish, because we see more of City College, it is really sad that we don't see him again.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I really like this guy. He was just a hilarious vibe with Jeremy Simmons.
Soul patch, too. It's so much. The ponytail and the soul patch. It's just like, crazy. Who came up with that? It's so brilliant.
Let me read this from Riley. Riley writes in, "This episode does something I really love that Community will do, which is where they take the A plot, B plot, and C plot, and in the very ending, tie them all together in a really fun way. That ending moment during the debate where Jeff and Annie kiss, which ties into Shirley and Troy and Abed's plot of Abed predicting the future, and then Britta quits smoking during the debate and calls Pierce a genius, which then ties into Shirley, Abed, Troy's plotline, connecting all three stories in a really amazing moment set to a great song choice. It feels hilarious and brilliant." Yeah, I'm forgetting the name of the band that does that, but like that song is like in every commercial ever, I feel like.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the commentary, how famous that song got after.
Home is wherever I'm with you. Yeah, we listened to that a lot, like around this time, Emily and I, and then it got like massively popular. But I remember listening to it when it was like, it felt like kind of like a fringe folksy song.
Yeah.
And then it just got, what was his name, like Jonathan Sharp or something like that?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Edward Sharp or something like that. Edward Sharp. Yeah. Edward Sharp.
Yeah. It's really good. I completely agree with Riley here. I think the way they tie everything together.
Alabama, Arkansas. Yeah, it's a good song. I love it. And it was a pleasure to hear it. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
Yes. No, I agree with Riley. I think it's great.
Eric Divestein. Yeah, yes. What does he say?
Which actor in Abed's videos was the best?
I don't know. Hard for me to say. I was more like swept up in the whole thing than to be able to like single one person out.
I think the one that was the worst was Annie's wig. That was awful. I think probably I would go with the two at the end in the end scene. I think they were very funny.
Yeah. Jank writes in and says, "This is the episode where the show firmly finds its feet. Greendale is not just a quirky community college anymore. We enter the full-on weird territory here. Jeff and Annie are the stars of the episode. We get great character stuff from them. The rest of the cast plays smaller roles, but still shines in their moments." And to that point, Jess, this will bring me into my meow meows.
Yes.
Very elegantly, because I have given everybody either a 4 or a 4.5, excepting Chang, who does not appear in the episode.
Right.
Who gets an automatic bagel. Giving Jeff and Annie the 4.5 because it's their show. But everybody else gets a 4. Everybody else gets a great moment. Like I was kind of struggling to think of what's Troy's great moment, but like the end credits moment with him is exceptional. Everyone gets like an exceptional moment. This is a really, really great character episode. Like everybody, even Pierce, you have to like give props to Pierce. Pierce is great in this episode.
Yeah.
Really, really funny.
I don't disagree with that. I'm feeling like I probably maybe should move my points up a little bit, but we'll see.
Do whatever you want to do. But I have it as a 4 for everybody except for Jeff and Annie, who are a 4.5, and Chang, who's a bagel. That is officially my meow meow beans. I'm very impressed with all the character work this week.
I don't have anybody below a 3. I did give Abed a 3 because if you have an average of a 2.5, I thought he was slightly above average. Again, like the scene with him and Shirley and her, oh, that's nice. Like that was very funny. But one thing I'm like, I think I thought Abed's videos were funnier than Abed himself, if that makes sense. So that's why I gave him a 3. Troy gave a 3.5. Same reasons you said, like the moments he does get are really funny, even if he's not in the episode that much. I also gave Pierce a 3.5. Like he's funny, but it's just my personal preference. Like physical comedy never really has me in stitches. So again, it's just like a personal preference for me. Britta and Shirley, I gave both 4s. Shirley cracked me up so much. Like the I'm a die by werewolf and the just, oh, that's nice with the Jesus line. Like she's so funny.
Yeah.
And I love the Britta growth of like, she always tries to help people. Even like, she doesn't even like Pierce. Like, and she's trying to help him, even though she's the one who's trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
Like if you don't love that about Britta, I don't know who you are, but you need to change because Britta's great.
Fair enough.
And Jeff 4.5, I really loved his growth in this episode. I love him and Annie as a character pairing. And Annie, like, obviously the easiest obviously five now that I've ever given.
Obviously we know this is where this is going.
That was obvious. Like, was she deserves clear. All of the five Mau Mau beans. And Shane Bagel, obviously, he's not even present.
He's not even in the episode. I'm not even going to get like, oh, here we go, Annie 5. Like, it's just a bit, this is a very queen for you, Annie 5. No debate about it. Yes.
And this also, I might add, is the first time I've given Annie 5 Mau Mau beans.
So is that right? Like this is the first one?
Okay. I have never given her 5 up until this moment. So again, I am slightly biased, but not crazy.
Okay.
So a little bit of a change in the rankings. We still have Abed at the top, then Britta, then Troy, then we have a tie now between Jeff and Annie for 4th and 5th.
I believe Troy, Jeff, and Annie are all tied.
Oh, yes.
No?
Troy, Jeff, and Annie are all tied at 89.5, which is absolutely insane. And they're not even that far off from Britta at a 91.5.
It's honestly pretty competitive, except for Abed is like really streets ahead right now. But then it's like Britta, 91.5, Meow Meow Beans. Troy, Jeff, and Annie with 89.5. Shirley's got 88. And Pierce actually has 83 Meow Meow Beans.
Yeah. Wild.
Chang, like dead last, 41.5 Meow Meows.
Yes. And I think that like, and the only change is that Annie gained a spot over Shirley right now.
Yeah.
But like, it's not surprising to me that Abed is a little bit streets ahead of everybody else. But I do think like it makes sense for right now that all the rest of them are very competitive with one another.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens as time goes on. But I'm loving that they're kind of, it is anybody's game right now.
All right. So we got to do the Dean's list. What do you got?
Yes. To me, it's very easy. I have to give it to Soulpash Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is awful in a great way. I think, like, everything contributes. You have the ponytail, you have the soul patch, you have the fedora, you have the scarf that he wears for, like, whatever reason. I love him, and I hate him, and he deserves the point this time. So that is who I gave my point to.
You know what? I was going to. And then
I saw that.
And then something changed. Here's what changed. Is I learned that Simmons will only appear the one time. And so to give him a Dean's List point right now feels like it would be for nothing. Whereas I could give the Greendale human being a Dean's List point and make him competitive in the Dean's List.
So you
I
just
have decided
like galaxy braining.
I am galaxy the braining Dean's the Dean's List.
Mm-hmm.
The human being's very presence makes me very happy. So it's not like he didn't do anything meaningful this week. He did. He made me happy. He made me excited. He made me scared. He's a monster. Absolutely. but he's my monster. I gave a point. I'm giving a point to the human being. The Dean otherwise is going to run away with this thing. And I need some people to get competitive here. So we're thrusting the human being into the spotlight here. I don't know that we want to use the word thrusting with the Greendale human being, but it is what I've said.
Oh, no.
So that gives him three Dean's List points total right now. Dean is still streets ahead with 7 and then Vaughn with 5.
Yeah. Also, I will say the fact that Dean hasn't gotten Meow Meow Beans like every single episode just further proves my point that he shouldn't be in the Meow Meow Beans yet. He was in this episode, but was he even in it enough to like warrant rating him? Not really. That's my argument. I'm sticking to it. I think
he's not a series regular yet. It's a clean argument.
You're yes.
Yeah.
You're and then on to the cool rating system.
Yeah, it's the best one yet for sure.
It is.
And it feels like it reads like an elite episode of Community. To me.
Yes.
This
shots are firing on all cylinders. Yes. Is that a thing?
You know what I mean? we're firing on all cylinders.
Shots are firing.
I don't know. I guess by virtue of.
I think I'm smushing shots fired and firing
on
all cylinders.
Yeah, I think so too, but I'm not mad about it. I think it's good.
It's great.
Yeah, these shots are fired on all cylinders.
See, when you say it like that, it sounds great.
It works. Yeah, this is the best one yet for sure. Everybody is hitting exactly the way you want them to hit. The fact that everybody's a 4 or higher for me, clearly I loved everybody this week. So that is that is great. It was very focused. I think Riley's point is a salient one about how everything ties together in a really wonderful way. Great music montage at the end of the episode. Really funny post-credits. It's not... I don't know what a perfect episode of Community looks like, but this is a really great one. And so to like set my benchmark for really great, you know, maybe actually I want to just, I know you hate this, just like in the ever so slightly, just because like I still don't know what the ceiling is. And so I want to leave some room for the ceiling.
Yes.
So my previous score that I did have left room for the ceiling, but I want this to be a little bit more thematically consistent with the episode. Yeah. Let me give this in lieu of the 36. Let me give it a 3.6.
Okay.
Will be the ranking that I am giving Debate 109, a 3.6. That's my highest score by a decent amount.
Yeah, by 0.4.
Mm-hmm.
You've given out actually 4 3.2s.
Yes.
This
is like a new threshold. This is a great episode of Community.
Yes. Yes. I had a similar thought. My highest prior to this episode was a 3.6, which both Intro to Stats got, and was it a 3.6? Yeah. Intro to Stats got it, and Social Psychology got a 3.5. Intro to Film got a 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like this was a better episode just because I felt like every storyline worked for me. Every character worked for me. Every character had even like a tiny moment to shine. And I didn't want to give it the full 4. I just don't think it's quite there yet. So I gave it a 3.8, which is the closest I've gotten to a 4, the highest I've scored anything. And no surprise, the audience is in agreement with us, 3.65 from the audience, which makes our current average a 3.70, which is firmly in first place. Second place is Social Psychology with a 3.4.
I think this is right. This feels very right to me. Yeah.
Yep. And the lowest score we got on this was a 3. So people
tells you
really
a lot.
Like it.
Yeah. It's a really good episode. I think this is like an objectively good episode at worst, you know? Like to the point where like, it's like surprising that this didn't make the season 0 cut, which is like very promising for so much of the rest of Community. Like this is a moment for me, Jess, where like I watched this episode. I was like, I'm so glad I'm finally watching Community.
Yeah.
Like probably Debate 109 was the first episode that made me feel that way. Like I've talked about before, like sometimes like the conversation is like what I'm the most hyped for. Like it's like interact with the community. This was like the first time probably in like the watch through in chronological order as intended order that I'm encountering an episode where I'm like, I'm really glad I'm watching the show.
Yeah. And I think we've hit our stride here. I mean, like obviously Intro to Stats is great. You'd already kind of seen that one. So it's kind of, it takes away a little bit of that, but Home Ec is great. And then Debate 109 is great. Like we've hit our season 1 stride, in my opinion. Like from here, it's really great episodes for the most part, on through the rest of the season. And then season 2 is just like leaps and bounds.
I'm excited. This is sort of like, this is like, we're like, like we're in it now.
We're in it. I would say we are in it now. I think other people would probably agree. We have a lot of fun things coming up, including the first Christmas episode. You haven't seen it.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
great.
That it's one of those things where I couldn't fit 3 episodes into 1 week. So I only had to choose 2 of the 3. But I think this first Christmas episode is a very strong one.
Sweet.
So I do think we're in really great territory now.
That's great. All right. Next week. What do we got going on next week, Jess?
We are up to season 1, episode 10, Environmental Science.
Okay.
And we do have a guest coming on.
Ooh.
The man, the myth, the legend, top 5 human being, Randy Neupel is coming
on. Hey, Randy. Randy is coming back. He's coming back. He's showing up.
He's showing up. He was not here for Crown.
He's rolling. I don't think I've ever podcasted with Randy.
I love this. I love this for you that I just bring on people you've never podcasted with before and get to have a good time.
Yes.
It's going to be fun.
I'm excited. It's going to be great. I love getting Randy on here. I love Randy. Top 5 human being, indeed. I guess the rest of the human being list is made up of 4 members of the human beings. Yeah.
No, I'm just picturing 4 different people dressed in that human being mm-hmm. costume, but like all different shapes and sizes. And how great it would be.
Yeah. All right. So we have Environmental Science coming up. Randy Neupel. Hey, we're going to be 10 episodes deep into Community next week. That's exciting. That's really fun. I can't believe we've made it this far.
It's crazy. We're almost halfway through season 1, if you can believe it.
That's crazy to me.
It is crazy.
I'm excited. Oh my God. All right. So we'll be back next week. More community. Randy is going to be here. Get your feedback in community@postshowrecaps.com. Get your ratings, your reviews, all of that stuff, your scores for the episodes. We want that. Some would say we need that, Jess.
Yes, absolutely. We do need it. We need those cool scores, because otherwise, if you only have like a few people sending them in, then they're very weighted heavily towards those people's thoughts. So the more that we get, the better.
Yes. So are you saying that we've got our thumbs on the scale too much?
Oh, we always had ours are weighted the same way, mm-hmm. no matter what. I'm just saying, if we get like one person who's like, I hate this episode, I'm giving it a one.
Yeah.
Well, their one is going to count very heavily if you don't send in your high score that you really love this episode.
It's important. It's yes. important. You need to make your voice heard here.
Exactly.
So that's what's going on here on Community Building. So much happening on post-show recaps, whether it's Down the Hatch. We've got the Final Fantasy VIII podcast is happening now. We've moved on from FF7 to a much stranger game. We've got Falcon Winter Soldier podcasting, Bloom Files, so much more on the Patreon page as well in the Patreon feed. So consider signing up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You get Community Building early. You get to watch along mm-hmm. live if that sounds interesting to you. Yep. So consider it, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You get to play Dungeons & Dragons. Yep.
We even watched this episode live in the Discord. I did with a couple other people.
There's
last
so
night.
Much to do. So oh. much to see. So yeah, consider signing up. You'd have a great time. We'd love to see you here. Jess, what's going on with the shit that the 90s shows are teaching you?
We are finished up with the Mary-Kate and Ashley month of March and on to April. We just had Sasha Joseph on to talk about the Rugrats Passover episode. It was wonderful. It was great. We talked about representation in media and how important it is. And it was honestly such a great, great podcast. So I recommend you give that one a listen. That one just dropped. And then obviously just we're into season two now on Dawson's Creek.
That's
if you can
wild.
Believe it.
How many episodes in the first season?
It's a very short first season, only 13 episodes.
Say, okay. Okay.
Everybody has new hairstyles. Pacey frosted his tips. Why?
I don't know.
No idea, but
it's that time of life.
It's awful looking. I can't wait to rant and rave about that. So give that a listen. It's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Conduct some science experiments with Randy.
Mm-hmm.
On the environment. And until next time, I guess this is where I say, Corey B, take it away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.